Lottery, Powerball, the Powerball lottery.
You're only allowed in here with a black person.
That's going to Hagura.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about all the different topics, okay? Let's see, let's try it. We'll do the best that we can. Okay, this I have really for Ramayevsky, it's a great sefer. You got to get the five volumes, Mincha Sosher, Rav Asher Weiss. Unbelievable. He has really, really good stuff. Five volumes, only on one volume. On every parasha, he has like 15 halachic topics. Hebrew. It's in Hebrew. Okay, he has a beautiful selection here, topic here on this week's parasha relating to the principle of lottery. A lottery. Why do we talk about lottery? So we learned actually in the afternoon. I learned with my chavrusos in the afternoon of Mayor Appeldorf and Ablazer. Ablazer Batshe, we call him. We learned about, he walked out. Okay, we learned yesterday the pasuk of the Chalukas Haaretz. In this week's parasha, Parshas Pinchas, Ribbono Shalom tells Klal Yisrael, they're coming into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to divide the land. With 7 years, 7 years of conquest and 7 years of Chalukah. Ablazer, we're just mentioning you. Just mentioned that yesterday we had the schus to learn with you. We learned in Chumash yesterday, Rashi Unkelis, the sugya of the Goyrolots. Ach b'goyrol yecholei ka'aretz. They come into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to divide the land. Moshe is not going to be alive at that point in time. You're going to divide the land through a girl. Let me read you the psukim. Our voice, please. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemuel. Lo eile techolei ka'aretz benachala b'mispar shemais. For these people, Rashi there right away said that they're referring to only those above the age of 20 and above, in order to buy a lottery ticket, have the elef alfi avdolos, how old do you have to be? I think there's a law. I think that has to be 18 years old. Why? Who cares? Let a little kid buy a lottery ticket. Who cares? There must be a reason. There must be a reason why the law is there. I think you always see that. To buy a lottery ticket.
Gambling.
So you're saying very good.
Well, I'm saying the reason.
No, so you say something very powerful is that if you never saw that in the store, you want to go buy a piece of candy, you want to go buy a loaf of bread. Can I please see your ID? If you're not 18 years old, I'm not going to sell you a loaf of bread. You never heard of such a thing. But if I'm not mistaken, and when it comes to buy a lottery ticket, I don't think they enforce it. Can care less. They do to buy a lottery ticket.
Try to collect. Not to buy it, but to collect it, you won't get it.
No. Okay, I once sent my kid, and I was in the car. I forgot what lottery was. I sent my kid. I was right in front of the store.
Yeah.
I said, go in, just get caught. And I waited for it.
Wow, you see that? Isn't that an amazing thing?
Yeah. I didn't know if I was an inspector or whatever, but obviously
it's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing that there is such a thing. I don't even know how I know it, but somehow, like in my mind, it just percolates in my mind. Maybe it says somewhere, maybe I don't know why. I don't even know how I know this. It must have read once the back of the ticket. It speaks volumes, and when you read this Rashi, it really jumps out at you, and this really opens up a whole world of commentary. If in the Goyish Welt they require a person to be a certain age to buy a lottery ticket, why? Who cares? No one's telling a kid you can't buy a loaf of bread, you can't buy a bag of pretzels. Obviously, you just hit the nail on the head. Buying a lottery ticket is conceived to be a form of gambling. And the haraya, the laws are, you cannot sell a lottery ticket. Gambling? What was a gambling? Big gambling. The ones that you get, buy a lottery ticket, big deal. A lottery ticket, it's a gambling. If Hashem wants you to have the money, you got to do your shtadlus, right? That's how some people will look at it. Some people don't look at it like that. But in the Goyish world, it's considered obviously to be a form of gambling. So what's then the pshat that when it comes? So right away, first of all, we come over here to the beginning of the parish of Goyrolis to divide the land. It says lo'ele. And I learned Reb Lazy yesterday, Reb Meir. Lo'ele, Rashi goes to town. Lo'ele, what's this word lo'ele? You gotta be 20 years and up. 20 years and up. The previous, until Shlishi in Parshas Pinchas, it describes the tzva'ois of Klal Yisrael. It describes, it calculates the members of Klal Yisrael, approximately 601,000 people were alive at the end of the 40 years in the desert. Lo'ele. From when? From the Esrim Shana Ulamala. If you want to include the women and children, it will come out to approximately, statisticians will tell us, if you have men, you have six. If you have 600,000 men from the age of 20 years and above, according to the rules of statistics, you have between 2.5 and 3 million people in total, including women and children. Those are the statistics. What?
A lot more women, since they didn't die.
You're asking a good question. I don't know. I don't know. You're right. You're saying good. You're saying because they didn't die, the curse did not apply to them. You're saying good. So there should be even more women. You're right. I don't know. I don't know the answer. That it doesn't say anywhere. There is absolutely no record anywhere of how many people in total were there when they came into Eretz Yisrael. All we know is that there were approximately 601,000 men from the age of 20 and above. How many people were there in Klal Yisrael, including women and children, doesn't say anywhere. According to an estimation from based on statistics today, so the experts say the number would be between 2.5 and 3 million. You want to say that, as Mr. Elman is saying very good, is that the women did not die, they were not part of the curse, so we have to assume that there were a significant number more people died naturally, but there's a significant number of more people, you're right, then it would come out to be maybe higher than that number. How much higher is it? I do not know. This number is a very significant number because Rav Moshe Feinstein uses it, halacha l'maaseh b'zman hazeh, in his chiddush, to use it to determine what is called a rishos sarabim. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that since in the Midbar there were 600,000 men, that's all over the age of 20, and according to the experts, that means that in Machaneh, that in the Yud Beis Mill, which was the Machaneh Yisrael, that means there would be approximately 2.5 to 3 million people. So if you today can replicate that in the modern world of an open area of Yud Beis Mill, and find the number 2.5 to 3 million people, that would automatically make that area into Rishus Haram Deraisa. So if you're saying the number is even higher, then obviously things have to be adjusted here and there. I do not know. Moshe works with this idea, with this number, and in modern times. In any event, going back, you do over here, you see Lo Eile. Rashi makes the point that the Goyrol is only for people that are currently over the age of 20. And Rashi points out later on that even though when they finally got around to making the Goyrol, which was at least 14 years later, maybe even 15 years later, because over here they're sitting in the 39th year of the desert, or maybe the 40th, and Chazal tell us it took them 7 years to conquer the land, and 7 years to divide the land. When exactly did they divide the land? When did they make the girl at the very end? I don't know. So it's at least 7 years, or 8 years, or maybe 14 years, maybe 15 years. So the people that were part of the lottery were only the people who bought tickets now in the 40th year. If anyone was, let's say, 19 years old now, and now 14 years later they're past being 20 years old, it does not matter. It's only for the people at this moment in time who are over the age of 20 will be included in dividing the land. Okay, that's one point to keep in mind as we proceed. The pasuk says, let's see. Larav tabit, Heshi will come back to questions that we'll just go on. Larav tabit nachalosei, v'lamat tabit nachalosei. The pasuk goes on to say is that the portions of land are going to be, it's just describing how they're going to divide the land into 12 parts. Only 12 parts, not 13 parts. Shevet Levi does not get a portion of the land. He's not included in the Goyrol, but the other 12 Shvatim are included in the Goyrol. We're going to divide Yosef into Ephraim and Menashe, and depending upon their population, the Uch Lesun, their population, they will be divided. There will be different portions of land. The land will be expanded or contracted based upon their size. And then it goes on to say the most important words that are relevant for us over here. Okay, that's not our topic now, what that means. But this is what is our topic. The land will be divided through a lottery. According to the names of the tribes of their fathers. And then the pasuk reinforces this principle. We would think that we would stop right here. Al pi hagorol techolek nachalosoi bein rav lima'ot. Whether you're numerous, whether you're small, there's repetition. It says ach bigorol yechole karetz. And then it says, al pi hagorol techolek nachalosa. Okay, and the first pasuk it says, l'shmois matos avoysan, according to the names of the tribes. And here it says, bein rav limot. So there appears to be more than one lottery.
Right.
Appears to be there's a lottery for dividing the land. And then there's a lottery that's the goyol to divide the nachalo, nachalosa. And then there's a difference between bein rav limot. There's a difference between the shemois matos avoysan. There's a lot going on. It's very confusing for me, at least in my limited preparation. And over here, Rabbi Osher Weiss, Shlita, presents an enormous amount of information. And I wish I would have prepared a lot better for this. I just want to run through some of the basic Rashi problem of some of the issues that relate to the concept of Goro. First of all, just before we even get into this, Rashi, without reading the words inside, says some very an enormous amount of information about the Goro, and each word of Rashi is sacred, and it's a little bit, it's very confusing. Rashi seems to say that the Goro, first of all, Rashi quotes the Medrash al pi ha Goro, the Goro itself supernaturally spoke. Pi is peh. The Goro said what's going to happen. Before the Nasi put his hand into the box to take out the piece of paper that said the name of the Shevet and the portion of land, al pi ha goyrol, Rashi says the goyrol would speak. This is what is going to happen. Rashi also says that the goyrol took place in the presence of Elozer HaKoyen, who was the Kohen Gadol, who wore the big day kahuna, including the Urim V'Tumim. Rashi, though, doesn't tell us what function the Urim V'Tumim had in the Goro. Did the Urim V'Tumim light up and tell you what's going on? It doesn't say. It's very strange. What this is that Elozer HaKohen has to be standing there. He's wearing the Urim V'Tumim. The Nasi, then there was the Nasi. Who was the Nasi? The Nasi of each Shevet came forward. And he put his hands into what's called a kalfe. What is a kalfe? A box. A closed box. What was in the box? So we think, we have to see the Maori Chazal, there were two boxes. One box was the names of the 12 Shvatim, and the other box was the names of the portions of land. The land was already pre-divided into 12 portions based upon their market value. Rashi explains that some portions of the land were rocky, were hard land that were not suitable for produce. And therefore, on the market, they were worth less money. Location, location, location. Other pieces of property land were fertile. And they were more, so you could have one piece of land that was 30 saw, that was equal another piece of land that was one saw. That's the example Rashi gives, 1 to 30. There could even be a piece of land that was 30 times more valuable than another piece of land. And that's how the whole area of Israel was divided into what appears to be 12 equal sections in value, not in size. The size, we know that some were enormous in size and some were very small in size. From Rashi it's Mashma, the parts of the land that were very small in size were very high quality.
Is that the Avayan?
No, Avayan is not included in the Chalukah. Eivar Yarden, that's another very good point that you make over here, that B'nai Goda, B'nai Ruvain, Chati Shem, and Menashe, not included. So the truth is it's not really 12 anymore. It's not 12 anymore. Rashi keeps on saying 12. What do you mean 12? There are many, many mysteries here that need to be sorted out.
Well, until next week's Parsha, we don't know that. So right now, that's
so he's saying that's the planning. But Rashi almost is talking about how it's going to happen, telling you the future. You're right, you're saying it right now. Rabbi Yeski is saying something very important, which is relevant to what we're going to talk about also a little bit, is that right now when Rashi is talking about what was the plan A, was there going to be 12 Shvatim participating in the Goro. Things changed because the 12 Shvatim, two of the 12 Shvatim dropped out, two and a half dropped out. How did that affect the Goro?
Didn't say anywhere about Ori Mikladei Rayam. It only says
they dropped out. So how did that affect the girl? So it seems that there was some participation from the Urim V'Tumim and the Kohen Gadol and the girl itself, al piha girl, miraculously spoke. And it's also, Rashi says, that miracles happen. When the Nasi put his hand into the box, a miracle happened. He pulled out his own name. I mean, what are the chances? If you have a box that has 12 names, and I go up and I put my hand into the box, and I'm one of the 12 people, who says I'm going to come out?
This is not a game of chance. This game is rigged.
So obviously there are many miracles that are taking place. So this is not your standard parable lottery over here. This over here obviously is a lottery. This is not the lottery that this is a lottery that is 100% based on Ruach HaKodesh. Totally based on Ruach HaKodesh, and the miracles basically confirmed what was mentioned. Then the question is that the whole thing is Ruach HaKodesh, so who needs a lottery? Let the Urim V'Tumim light up, and let the Kohen Gadol, just let the Urim V'Tumim light up, and the same way of a question going to war, what to do? So you ask the Urim V'Tumim what to do, and the Urim V'Tumim lights up and tells you what to do. So who needs the lottery? If the whole thing anyway is being done up in Ruach HaKodesh, and the Goyrul itself is speaking, how come it doesn't say anywhere in Chazal that Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashmoshes, Hashem created the Pi HaGoyrul? How was it that in last week's parasha, the Osoin spoke? The Pi HaOsoin, are you cold?
No.
Is it getting cold again? No. You good?
Make it cold.
No one's cold? When you get cold, let me know.
It's exceptional.
So, how come, just like Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes, Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes, Chazal says Hashem created the Pi Ha'osoin. How come it doesn't say anywhere in Chazal that Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes, Hashem created the Pi Ha'goyrol? Same thing, since when there's a girl talk? Okay, what's going on over here? I don't know. There are so many questions. What exactly, again, the two psukim, they repeat each other, they don't repeat each other. Not all the mefarshim are addressing all of the issues. Some do. Some of the issues are as follows. These are just throw out some of the issues. Issue number one is, we have a halacha generally, that to be kind of karka, there's a way to acquire metaltalin and a way to acquire karka. And there's a difference between the way a Jew acquires karka from another Jew versus the way a Jew acquires from a goy, or vice versa, a goy from a Jew. And the same thing when it comes to movable objects, how does a Jew acquire from a Jew? How does a Jew acquire from a goy? And this all gets very complicated when it comes to Erev Pesach, when you sell the chametz to a goy. So when you sell the chametz to a goy, what do you typically do? You don't just sell the chametz to the goy, you also rent to the goy the location where the chametz is resting. So you're really selling him karka, because renting karka is based on the same rules as selling karka. Because you're not allowed to have in your position. If you have in your home chametz, so if you sell the chametz to a guy, it only solves one problem. I sold the chametz to the guy. It's not my chametz, but the chametz of the guy is still resting in my possession. That's a shayl of Baal. That's a shayl of Baal Yeroya. So what do you have to do? You have to go and you have to sell not just the chametz, but you have to also sell to the guy the location where the chametz is resting, so it should not be a violation of Baal Yeroha, Baal Yeimotzei. So the Rabbanim have to do this, Erev Shabbos, Erev Pesach. And when they do this, you get into all the complex laws of transactions of how does a Jew sell metaltalin to a guy, and how does a Jew sell karka to a guy, and it gets very complicated how to do all of these things. Fine. So you learn the halachas and you learn the rules of transactions and the Jews, and you learn how to make a transaction between Jew and a Jew and a Jew and a guy. There's no such transaction anywhere in the Torah called a goyrul. There's no such halacha. Okay, you'll tell me there's something called simtusa. Simtusa is there's an acceptable norm. You shake hands, you make a lechayim, mazul ubracha. If you sell diamonds, when is it a final sale? When you say to each other, when the seller and the buyer say to each other, mazel ubracha.
Who was another one? The Sanhedrin. He's the
Canaan. Yeah.
To get to 70, they had to have a drawing, but who gets the two blanks?
Very good. With Eldon and Moedon, excellent. Okay, we'll come down in a second. We want to try to go through many examples of Gerolis. One thing at a time. Question. Over here, the Jewish people are coming to acquire territory in Eretz Yisrael. They're coming to acquire property. How does this all work? Do we say the moment they step into Eretz Yisrael, it becomes the property of the whole house?
Make a bracha.
And I saw the light.
Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Olam, shekoychoi ugvirasoi malei olam. Okay, so we come into Eretz Yisrael. We come into Eretz Yisrael. When, at what moment in time does Klal Yisrael acquire the territory? When they step foot in the land? When they step foot in the land, or when is it becoming their property? And even if it becomes the collective property of the entire Klal Yisrael, they certainly have to redivide and give each Shevet a chelek. You get this portion, you get that portion. It seems, from the Psukim, the Goyrol is what is making the transaction. Is that correct? In other words, is the Goyrol, and this is going to have an afkin lahalacha in the things that we do today. In other words, they're dividing the land. After the division, each Shevet and each family and each member in Klal Yisrael who participate in this Goyrol owns a tract of land. Where and when did he become the legal owner of that piece of land? The moment the Goyrol, they picked up the piece of paper out of the Goyrol, is that the moment? Now it's yours. And now, Lamay Nafkamina, Dafyomi, you can now go bring Bikurin. You don't have to go to your land and dig in the land. You don't have to go and survey the land. Is it that the Goyrol itself legally has now established you to be the legal owner? You now are the Balabayas, or no? The Goyrol is just an indication of what you will have, what you're now permitted to go and make an acquisition. The Goyrol is just an indicator. This is yours for the taking. So go take it. But until you walk on that land and you take a shovel and you put the shovel into the earth, it's not yours. How far did the Goyrol, what?
And nobody else has a right to do it.
Exactly. No one has a right to do it, but it's still not called yours. Lamay Naftamina, the person dies, it's not going to go to you, it's not going to be Yerushalayim. That's before the person comes and actually steps foot in the land and puts a shovel into the ground, he dies. So then, it's not going to go be Yerusha to his children. It's going to go up. It's going to go to someone else. Someone else, not your children. You're not the Balabas. What? That's the question that we're asking. What is it? What is the halakha?
So we ask a different question. Who was the prior? So there's no prior. It's
good.
After.
That's all valid question. One thing
so
is for sure.
If
they want, but let's say they don't want.
No, that's what the girl does.
If you say the girl, once the girl was done, instantly,
it becomes
the property of Ruvay. If Ruvay now, at this moment, dies, there's no discussion. It now belongs to Ruvay's children. Right. If Ruvay, the girl said this, go make a chazaka. Yeah, you know, I'm going on vacation this week. Okay, when you get back. Yeah, but you know, it's up north. Until I get around, it'll take me about probably 2-3 months, I'll get around to seeing the land that Hashem gave me, and I'll make a chazaka. If during those 2-3 months, if you tell him that you don't make a chazaka, the person dies, guess what? He never acquired, does not go be Yerusha. It's going to go somewhere, there's going to be some other system that's going to come into play. Take it away. What exactly was the role of the Goyrol in the law of Kinyonim? Lemay nafkamina, big nafkamina, bizman hazeh. Because there are a handful number of cases in Shulchan Aruch where the halach is not clear what to do. You have different situations of divisions amongst, let's say, Yerusha. And there are a handful number of cases in Shulchan Aruch where the psak halach is, make a girl. You have two brothers that are fighting. They can't decide this. I can't give you the examples he quotes Rabbi Weiss. His Bikiyas of Shulchan Aruch is phenomenal. And it tells you all the different cases in Shulchan Aruch where it says that the halacha says, you make a goyrol.
In that case, it belongs to one or the other of the two people, and the goyrol is just being nevara or assigned. It's not like the land, which was totally hefker to the bezin or whatever,
These are all all of these questions you're asking are all part or all different dimensions of many. There are many levels of questions. But let's just take whatever. Let's just go down to one syllable. Try to focus on one example. After everything is said and done, right now we're going to make a goro, and the goro is going to decide who gets what. After we make the goro, am I the bizman hazeh halacha lemaaseh? You'll show me a case in Shulchan Aruch. We have two brothers that are dividing the state, and they can't decide who gets what. And the halacha is to make a goro. They make the goro, and then one of them dies. Does that mean automatically that the Porsche that the girl decided goes to be Yerusha to the grandchildren, to the next generation, or no? He didn't make it the chazak. The girl was just an indicator of what you'll take, what you'll take. Halacha l'maisa, each one of the brothers must go into the field and must make a halachic chazakah. They must make a kinyan with each other. There are rules in Shulchan Aruch of how kinyanim are done. A goyel is out of the box. It's not a kinyan. Or is it a kinyan? Is it worse than simtusa?
The Yerusha is the kinyan. Unfortunately,
I don't have clarity in any area of halacha, certainly not in this. I just want to throw out, you have to be done in how Yerusha works. You say breira, lemafreya, not breira. There are many, many variables in Chosha Mishra. Chosha Mishra is extremely complicated, and it doesn't seem that today anyone has clarity in many of these laws. And many of these laws, anyway, is done with, you know, Pshara and Askama, and there are other techniques. But generally, to get an appreciation, what exactly is the nature of a goyel? Is a goyel a new form of kinyan? Once you make the kinyan, you're done. Or no, goyel is nothing more than an indicator. An indicator, this is what we're going to do, and now go and do it. Now this idea here, Weissen wants to say, I don't understand exactly where he's going with this, so just throw out the idea, it's a very interesting idea. Is a goyrol a form of Ruach HaKodesh? Or is a goyrol, this is a hashkafic principle? And he wants to say that this question I just told you is totally zebizeh. He brings rise, when you do a goro, when the halacha demands you do a goro. Now, Eretz Yisrael is obviously different. Obviously, Eretz Yisrael, you read Rashi, what Rashi says is the udim bitumim, the girl is speaking, this is happening, that is happening. There's obviously Ruach HaKodesh. You are bringing into the goro a dimension of Kiddush, of Nevuah, of Ruach HaKodesh, something that is above and beyond us. But let's talk the halacha l'maisa today. Today, when the halacha demands you make a goyel, is it Ruach HaKodesh? Or is it, I'm not sure, I don't want to say the wrong thing, I want to sound saying we have the curses. Is it just like there's something in today, chance? Obviously, everything is bashet. At the end of the day, Hakol bidei shamayim. But there are different degrees. There is a different revelation of Hashem's hashkocha. So today you go to Beis Din and you make a goro. What is that? You know, whenever you don't know what to do, there are many different techniques in Beis Din. This kind of called kol de olin gevar. Whoever has a bigger fist, whoever is a bigger bully, he'll win. That's the halacha. Then there's shudu the dayanim. The dayanim, they say, there's no clear halacha, but we have the right to decide what we want to do here. This guy, you're a big gevir, you have parnasa, your brother here, you know, he's struggling to survive. There's no halacha here. You know, with Beis Din, the asis ha-yosha v'hatoiv, we're giving it to him. You don't like it, too bad. We have the power to decide. Shuda did die. If it's in Shulchan Aruch, Bezin has no choice. Doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make it. There are times when there's no halacha, and there's a halachic principle called Shuda did die. It is the decision of the court. That's the prerogative, what they want to go do. Then there's Yachloiku. Yachloiku is money. Yachloiku, okay, what's the halacha? Shnayim, Echzim, Tal, Zem, Kulushli, Yachloiku. It doesn't make a difference if you get this side of the talus or you get that. They are literally identical. Cash, it's just electronic digits in some computer, in some bank somewhere, in some server. There's no difference. Yachlaiku. What other examples are there in Allah? Yachlaiku shugu b'dayne, kol dolem gvar. What other examples are there? Okay, the other, I think there are even more different types of examples. And now we have a new concept of goyrol. Make a goyrol. There are two pieces of land, they're exactly the same. Each one has miles and chesroimes, market value, they're the same. What are you going to do? A goyrol. Is a goyrol just like called olam gvar? Is a goyrol like shuda de daine, let the bezin decide? Is a girl yachleik? Or no? When you make a goyrol, you are saying, Ribbono shel Olam, we're putting our emunah, even today, even in Tavshin Pei Gimel, we're not Nevi'im today. There's no one today, you know, we don't see miracles today. We live in a world of Teva. Yet, when you make a goyrol, you're opening up a new dimension, Ribbono shel Olam, you make the decision. Is that the chance? Or goyrol is, you know, it's just a technique. It's just a mundane technique. L'may nafkamina. The nafkamina is, is it final? Is the goyrol final? Now, let me explain to you what I mean, how he explains it. Okay, let me read you the words actually. Okay, this is something which from the Rishonim, and it opens up a whole world of commentary. It also opens up, I think also really touches upon, you look at the commentators who say this, it really opens up an insight into their hashkafa. The Rambam, the Halak Rambam, the Rambam was a rationalist. No? Wasn't the Rambam a rationalist? More or less? Okay, he wasn't hocus pocus. He was a rationalist. How would the Rambam look at a girl? Well, a rationalist look at a girl as, you know, it's a chance, right? I mean, he can't say that in Yadus, but it's. Rambam says, Shittas Rambam is, to summarize, he goes to the Rambam in more detail over here, but Rambam says, the Hano, the Kotzai Se Ahadode, Gimiri Umakni Zela Zevaloim Yishon Hagoro. Okay, this is not his words exactly, summarizing, maybe I have to find the words of Rambam. Halavai, I can find over here. Quotes the Rashbam. It's very fascinating. It was holding over here, and then he quotes over here the Rashba. Vri Migash, the Ramah.
It's an agreement between the two parties, the makis to the other person, whenever the burial comes.
Right. Here's a quote from the Rambam. Ha'achin shecholku. The Rambam is not talking about Eretz Yisrael now. We're talking about America. 2023. L'misparon. Ha'achim shechalku, v'asu b'neihem goyro. Brothers divide an estate, and they make a goyro. Kevan she'ola goyro le'echad mehen konu kulon. That's it. No chazaka. You're done. You do not need to go down to the field and dig and make a physical chazaka. You don't need a shtar. You don't need to give over, pick up a handkerchief. You don't need to do anything more. You pick up the goyrol, whatever, however technique you do the goyrol. The moment the goyrol has been done, it is legally done. It is irreversible. If someone dies, that portion goes birusha. Why? Where in the Torah HaKadosh does it ever say anywhere a goyrol is a legal form of kinyan? The Rambam says, why? These are the shocking words. It is what's called basically gemira stas. A whole very interesting principle is, the pleasure that both of us have, that we've decided that this will be the determining fact of who gets what, that is what affects the kinyan. In other words, this is what the Rambam holds.
There's a
very
new kinyan happening at that moment.
No, I want to go backwards. This is what many of the Mepharshim explain. Why is it you need to make a kinyan when you buy land? I'm buying land. I want to buy a piece of land. So, it's me and you. How much do you want for the land? $1,000. All right, I'll pay you $1,000 eventually. I don't have the money today. Eventually, in a couple of in a year. Well, let's make it also in a year from now. That's the deal. Okay, you agree? You agree? You'll give me the land for $1,000. I'll pay you in a year from now, and you'll sell me this piece of land. Maskin. I'm maskin. You're maskin. We're not going to shake hands. We'll just talk to each other. Is the sale final?
No.
Garnished. Nonsense. Mamish.
It's a mishapar.
Correct. It's a mishapar. Correct. But let's put that aside. It's a curse. But let's talk about practically speaking, court. Why not? I want to buy the land. I want the land. I want to give you $1,000. You want to get rid of it. Liquidate your assets. You need the money. In a year from now, you think the land anyway is going to go down in value. So we have a conversation between us. What's the wrong? I want to buy. You want to sell. We agree in words. Why isn't the transaction complete? The answer is, we don't really know what's in your heart. When I say I want to buy the land, it can very well be, I don't really want to buy the land. I need it. I need it because I have to show off. I have land. I need it for this. I don't have $1,000. It's not worth $1,000. I have to go give $1,000 for this piece of land. The seller, does he really mean it? I feel so bad. This is my ancestral plot.
That's what the money is. He's only selling it because he needs the money. Otherwise,
I don't really want to do it, because every single transaction, according to the Rambam, according to the way Chazal understand, when you just talk is cheap, because deep down in your heart, I don't want to do it. I have no choice. In life is all of life. 99% of life is, you got no choice. This is the way it is. That's what you got to do. You ain't got a choice. So, what do you do to make it irreversible? You can't live like that. Everybody. So here, take the handkerchief. You do an act, a physical act. Go to the field and dig a little bit. Go and give me a deposit. Give me a dollar. Ooh, you did a physical act. You've done something physical. I've dug. I give you a handkerchief. It's no longer abstract. In the mind, thoughts are abstractions. When you do something physical, the physicality of the act overrides your bad feelings, your pain. I don't really want to do this. Did you say you want to do it? Yes. Deep down in your heart, do you really want to do it? No. So what's in your heart is an impediment, is getting in the way of what you really want to do. How do you suppress it? How do you cancel the evil thoughts in your heart? With an action, with a maisa. A maisa kinyan overrides a person's lack of gemiras das. Now here's the chiddush. But let's say we know for sure. Chazal can say, we can read your heart. We can enter into the depths, into the corner of your heart, and we can determine that you are 100% sincere in wanting to go through with this transaction. And guess what? You don't need to do a physical act. You don't need to do a maisa. Just your word alone, it's over. It's done. What is the classic example? Shidduchim is the classic example. I have a son, you have a daughter. I want my son wants to marry your daughter, your daughter wants to marry my son. A shidduch. You know what? For the shidduch, I'm going to give to set up the chasen kala. I'm going to buy them pillows. And you're going to buy them linen. I'm going to give some chickens for the farm.
And you're giving it a
farm. And you're going to go give You're going to support them for the next 20 years in Kailo. Agreed? Mark, agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed?
Agreed?
Mazel tov. Mazel tov, you can't go back on it. Do we shake hands?
Take my wife.
Do we shake hands? No, we didn't. No, COVID, we don't shake hands anymore. No shaking hands. Did we pick up a handkerchief? You had germs on that handkerchief? I wouldn't touch your handkerchief for the life of me. I wouldn't touch your handkerchief. You give? No, Tanoim. We wrote Tanoim. Tanoim is a modern thing because people today have problems with they don't keep their word today. Tanoim, who needs Tanoim? According to the Din of the Gemara, there was no Tanoim in the Gemara. In the Gemara, it was Dibor. You're going to give, the Tanoim of the Gemara was Dibor. I'm going to give 3 chickens and you're going to give feathers for the pillows. Okay, there is a verbal agreement. Maskim. No shaking hands. No documents. No handkerchiefs. Nothing. It's just an oral agreement. You know what the halacha is? You better keep your word. If you don't keep your word, Bezin will repossess all your assets to make sure that the other person gets his pillows and his feathers and whatever he needs to get. Why? Where's the kinyan in? Where is the kinyan? The only reason why you need a kinyan is because a person's heart is crooked. You say one thing with your mouth, but your heart really is not happy. And that's life. There's nothing you can do about it. So you have to do an action, a maisa, to override the crookedness of the heart. But if we know for a fact that a person really, really wants, then dibur alone is sufficient. There's only one area in halacha where dibur alone is sufficient, and that is shidduchim between parents. What? No, not a talmud. No, not a talmud chacham. Doesn't say by talmud chacham. Only when it comes to parents marrying off their children and they agree to basically the equivalent of what it says in the Tanoim. That's really what it is. Hein hein hadavam. It says in the Gemara the words hein hein. Hadavodim haniknim bi amira. Why bi amira? Chazal we yored l'sevdaita shaladam. They want their children to get married, and there's gemira stas. They're
so,
dead serious.
So therefore, it's not really a real kinyan. It's because of tikkun olam.
No. That's exactly the point. The imam is saying fakir. No. Just the opposite. Every kinyan is tikkun olam. This is the real thing. In order for there to be a kinyan, you need for it to be real, you need gemira stas. You have to really want. Problem is, the way the world works today, no one wants. Everyone's a liar. Not for bad reason, because that's how, I don't have a choice. I have to sell that. I would really not sell this, not that. But that's the way the world goes. So what do we do to make people can't back out? Because really the transaction really is no good. Really the transactions are no good because I don't really want. But you said you want. Yeah, I said I want, but does my heart with me know? Well, the world can't live like that. If you say you want, so the way we're going to ignore what's in your heart, to override what's in your heart, is do a maisa kinyan. But if you can show me a hechatimsa where a person really wants, hein hadivorim haniknim bi'amira. There's only one example in halacha that applies to shidduch. Because parents want their children to get married, and when they commit themselves to certain things, the words are... Now you'll tell me today we don't do... Today the world is so... It's so corrupt, and the world is so difficult. Maybe even Bizman Azeh, you can't even say people are so happy with the Shidduch. I don't know. But this is what it says in the Gemara. I'm not making this up. The Rambam goes further with this, and he says... Here we have two brothers dividing an estate. How are we going to divide? Now, it's not your typical case here, because each one is entitled to something. We're both entitled. I'm entitled, you're entitled. They're entitled. The question is, how are we going to divide? If two brothers agree on a technique and how to divide a goyrol, we have a solution. How are we going to divide? The pleasure that each brother has in the other, that they're willing to accept this technique as a method of division, that is like the case of Shidduchim. Hein hadavarim haniknim bi'amira. The Gemira Stas, these are the words of the Rambam. The Rambam says, Achen shechalku v'yosu b'neim goyol, Kevan Shola Hagol Echamim Kanu Kulan. What? Where's the Kenyan? Where does it say in the Torah that a girl works? Nowhere. Nowhere. You're making up a new Kenyan. You want to go bring me a raya from you want to bring me a raya from Chalukas Haaretz? Chalukas Haaretz is a whole different world because Be'etzem there it was totally Ruach HaKodesh. It was the girls spoke, the Urim Tumim were there. When the princes put their hand into the box, it was a miracle that punk, the piece of paper that came out of the box, happened to have their name on it. Excuse me, that's not a girl, that's a miracle, that's not a girl. So don't bring me raya so quickly from what it says by the girl. On the other hand, you know, the Torah talks about a girl, you know, you gotta find some middle ground. But the Rambam says that when brothers divide land, and he says there's no need for any further kinyan, why not? Kanu kulon behanoya, with the pleasure, the hana, the pleasure, shenasei slohem, sheshamu ze mizeh ledovar, they're willing to agree on something, sheyeskimu olav, that they agree that this will be the technique of division, that's gemiras das. That's the goal. That is the ultimate goal, is your heart is with you. So you don't need to do the physical act.
And then the deep work is the king.
No, he doesn't. The goral is. The goral. The goral, because the goral, the goral is the expression of the gemiras das. The goral becomes, it's an amazing thing. In a regular transaction, the end of the day is you never have gemiras das. And the transaction is just an override. It's an override.
The
mice overrides the gemiras das. No, the dibur is good, but the dibur, there's every transaction in this world is suspect that there's no gemiras das. Do you know how painful it is for me to sell my house? I lived here my whole life, just because I'm going aliyah. So I have a house in America. Big deal. I don't want to sell it. I want to keep it. It's nostalgia. It's sentimental to me. I have gemiras das. Every transaction in this world, it's the human condition.
No.
There is no gemiras das. So when you make a transaction, what are you really doing? Like, every transaction is tikkun olam. It's make-believe. You're living a world of make-believe. It overrides your lack of gemiras das. There is one example that Chazal give you where there's real gemiras das. When you marry off your children and you commit yourself to help them set up a house. And even that today obviously doesn't work anymore. But it used to be in the time of Chazal, when parents marry their children, there's gemiras das. Your dibur alone, it's the only real transaction in the Gan Sedel. You know, it's very sad, you know, think about this. Today, in the modern world today, There are groups of people who no longer do tanoim. They normally go to a wedding, and they don't do tanoim. They start with the ksuba. They sit down and they fill the ksuba. Why should we do tanoim? What is the purpose of tanoim? The purpose of tanoim is the chasan commits, basically it says in the tanoim, the chasan commits himself to marry her, and the kala commits herself to marry him, and we're officially engaged, and each one will, you know, provide their different nuschos, will provide, you know, money to set up a house, or the parents will provide. So today, when should you really sign the tanoim? When should you sign the tanoim?
By the vart.
And by chassidim, they do. Some of them, they do. They sign, that's when you sign the tanoim by the vart. Why don't the Ashkenazim want to make tanoim anymore? Because today, unfortunately, it's not uncommon for there to be a broken engagement. And if there's a broken engagement, how do you undo the signing of the tanoim? Now, if you want to undo a marriage, there's something called a get. But there's no technique anywhere in the whole world, anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, that can cancel and deem null and void a shtar tanoim. What do you do? You got a big problem. By the Hasidim, they say, better if you sign tanoim, better get married and get divorced than break the engagement. Because there's no way you can undo the signing of the tanoim.
Why is it depicted in the I sell you a piece of wood?
Buy it back.
How
have to buy
back. Buy back. Buy back. No, you can't undo it. There's no such thing as undoing a document. It's a very strange thing. So therefore, this is one of the main reasons why by the Ashkenazim, not by all. I know many people that did sign the Tanayim by the Vart. Yeah, we're getting married. Let's leave it at that. Because in case Chas v'Shalom, there's a broken engagement, it's a big problem. How do you undo this? It's a big, big problem. So you know, what do we need the problems for? We'll get married. So now you come to the wedding. When are you going to walk down to the chuppah? Well, the caterer says that you don't start going to the chuppah in 5 minutes. I'm not serving dinner here tonight. We're going in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Do we need like a tonight for 5 minutes? So under the chuppah, they write the by the chosin stitch, they write the tonight. Right, they write it, they sign. The mothers come in, they break the plates. So what did you just do? We committed that we're going to go to the chuppah. The amount of time you wasted committing yourself going to the chuppah, you could have already gone to the chuppah. You're all dressed, you paid the bill already, you're all ready to go. So what is this, a joke? What are you doing over here? It's a joke? So they attack many Gedolei Yisrael. Not many, I don't know. Let's say, you know what, if you didn't write the Tanayim by the engagement party, don't waste everyone's time by making Tanayim by the wedding. It's just, let's go to the chuppah. You don't need it anymore. I know that. Then there are people that say, listen, you know, it's not a problem to write Tanayim, but you know something? It's Minhag Yisrael. Don't play around. You don't play around with Minhag Yisrael. If the Minhag Yisrael is to make Tanayim, better late than never. No, does it make sense to us? Do we need, no. You understand everything in life? Everything in life you have to understand? So you're right. So that's the minute I can't tell you, by everyone, by it's extremely, extremely common in this community. When you go to a wedding, they're going to write tonight. Right? By the wedding. Why? What?
Because you need the
kibbutz. It's not. You need it because whatever. Because you don't. No one wants to tamper with Minhag Yisrael. I'm telling you, even that someone once told me, you know the nusach Hamagid Nereshis Achris who Yitim Shame. How could you give up the beautiful words that Hashem will give a shame u'she'eris, a blessing for the Chosin and Kala, a legacy, renown, and a legacy. How could you give this up? Hamagid Nereshis Achris means the Shirach is Bashert. How could you just dismiss it? So there are people that say, he says, lo yavrichu lo zu mizeh, v'lo zeh mizu. Those words spell mezuzah. This is the mezuzah. You have a bias, you open up a mezuzah on your bias. It's the mezuzah. It's the mezuzah of the marriage. How, just because you're going 5 minutes to the chuppah, you're going to give it up? I want to tell you even more. I want to add to the mix and tell you, the Tanayim is a zecher for the only thing in this world the Chazal say is real. Now today it's not real anymore because today you have to write a document, right? You have to write the document. But it represents the Tanayim that you write by your wedding. It represents what it says in the Gemara, Achos and Kal, the parents on Sharich, and they say, "Lu, we have a little boy, a little girl, you don't have Parnasa, we're going to help them set up a house. I'm going to give this for their new home. You'll give this. No shaking hands. Don't touch the merchandise. No shaking hands. Hein hadvarim haniknin niknim bi'amira." What does that mean? This is gemira stas. It's the real deal. This is the only transaction in the whole world that is for real. Everything else in this world is fake. Because if it was real, you wouldn't need to sign documents, you wouldn't need to shake hands, you wouldn't need to make a kinyan chazaka, kesef shtar, and chazaka. I give you my word, you give me your word. I'm sincere, you're sincere. That's not the human condition. I'm not sincere, I don't want to sell my field, I don't have a choice. So Mamela, I don't have gemira stas. So what are we going to do? It's a problem. We're going to override the gemira stas, and I'm going to sign a document. Oh, the sale is final. Shidduchim, you don't need to do that. It's not fake. It's real. Today, we have to sign documents. Even for Shaduchim, you have to sign documents because the world has changed and we have changed. But at least, wow, it's a zecher for the only real transaction in the whole world. How could you give that up? How could you not write Tanoim by a chasana?
But why do you need to write Tanoim? If this is the Gemira's Das, just my talking to you should be the Gemira's Das, and I don't need it.
So maybe that's what will answer you back. A lot of Rabbanim, they don't like this type of talk. They
say,
don't romanticize the Tanoim. Don't make life so complicated. It's late. I got to get home. I have a job. Don't waste my time here. Let's get the show on the road. Don't romanticize, life so much. What?
If you break off the shit, then you had a Gemira Stas. Without the Tanoim papers in order.
It's not the same, though. It's not the same. The fact that today you have to write Tanoim, you have to sign Tanoim, obviously goes, it's very, very late. But you're not going nowhere here. You're trapped here. You guys are trapped here. All right. There's an infinite amount of more material over here in this sugya over here. This Dalai Rama is the girl is Gemara Stas. There are so many different examples of Goyrolois in Chazal. Ochon. Choto Yisrael Ochon. They found the sinner through a Goyrol. And the Yeshua said it's not enough. He has to confess. We have what are the other famous cases of Goyrolois? Goyrolois. Yonah, that's really the geshmaka stuff. Yonah, Sefer Yonah, he was on the ship. He was on the ship, and they took a girl. Who's the perpetrator? Who's the problem here on the ship? We have to throw overboard. Let's say you're on the Titan, and they say, the Titan was not going to, we only got a certain amount of enough air. We only have enough air to left over here to survive. Someone's got to go. Someone's got to go. So you take a girl. Is there such a thing? Is there such a thing? You take a girl, right? I once saw a show where there was a tsunami coming, and there was a helicopter. Only enough seats on the helicopter to take away. Only can save a certain amount of people. Take a girl. Is there such a halachic? Are you allowed to do that? In the world of halacha, are you allowed to use a girl in order to save yourself? So the Sefer HaChassidim says no. Do you believe this? You can't use a girl to save yourself. Let's say you're on a ship and the ship is sinking. And you're going to get rid of one person and everyone will survive. Who's going to go? No volunteers.
The guy.
What? Who are you going to throw off the ship? Girl. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to use a girl to decide who we're going to throw off the ship to save everyone else?
All the olive gevar.
Are you allowed to use it as a girl? The Sefer Chassidim says you're not allowed to. Everyone has to die, or someone has to volunteer. You cannot. What? I think you can, but you can't. But you can't.
Like
you cannot use. Some places can disagree. Can you use a? Can you use a? What about the Shiloh? You make a girl, and then you realize. Let's say you have. It happens. Ma'isim b'chol yom. You have yeshiva dinner. Everyone that you add into the goro changes the outcome, right? Yeah. If you have a box of chips, of marbles, right? Like they do when they, right? They show on television when they make the goro. They still do that.
Pay less if they're gonna have 1,000.
So they're supposed to put in the numbers. Let's say 1 to 100. A shemazel number 68 fell out. The marble 68, they find it on the floor there. So you only add their 99 marbles in the box. And they make the girl. And they discover on the floor number 68 was missing. So now, what do you do now? Do you have to redo the girl? Yes or no? Do you give a refund? Give number 68 a refund?
That happened by one Chinese auction. I'm not going to mention who. With somebody.
Happens every day. This happens.
Asian auction.
They printed up extra tickets. They knew what it was going to look like, and they kind of won a lot of the prizes. And then they caught on that it was.
And suddenly, Shleike Hagen. So what do you do?
They had to get it like a.
It's not so posh.
Release from everybody not to redo the whole.
It's not so posh. Not so posh. You have to redo it all over again. Wow. You give the guy a refund. the big, you know, in the old divorce, all depends. You know, there's really no answer. These questions, it goes on forever and ever. You go by your yeshiva fundraiser. You'll say, listen, what did you give the money for? You gave the money because you really won the prize, or you gave the money for stuff? It was just a way we squeezed you to give some money. Did you really expect to win? So just because the girl wasn't 100%, or also, yeah, when you give the money for the lottery, you have to understand, we're only human beings. You have like a very big organization. And people, you know, they send in tickets for the girl. You have to understand that things get lost in the mail, and you have a massive, they probably do one of the biggest lotteries in the Klal Yisrael today, right? The Ur campaign, you really expect that every single ticket and every single pledge, we're going to be able, the very last moment, we're going to get it in. There's always going to be something we were supposed to be in the girl and somehow it just didn't make it. And then when you go, you put your hands in. It's really mixed well. It's really, really fair. It's really, really fair. Or there's a certain leeway and understanding that we give you a certain leeway in how the girl works. All of the roofers today, their mamish, the singing, they're going to have so much business.
Yeah.